Good morning. We're going to call this meeting to order. Our topics for discussion, proposed minor league baseball stadium entertainment complex. I have public comments on the agenda, but I'm going to ask that everybody hold their comments until after the presentation. Everybody will be able to speak, but we don't want to break in during the presentation. Allison Campbell, were you here to talk about the skating rink or this?
This.
Okay. Dr. Sokin?
Yes.
Were you here to talk about baseball? Okay, you're fine. Thank you. So...
Thank you, Madam President. Today's work meeting is dedicated to providing the Ocala City Council and the public at large an overview of a possible deal to return professional baseball to Ocala, Marion County. With the assistance of Mayor Kent Gwynn, in early 2012, contacts were made and discussions commenced with representatives of the New York Yankees. The initial focus of the work was to evaluate the feasibility and economic impacts of moving the Tampa Yankees, a single-A advanced minor league team playing in the Florida State League and owned by the New York Yankees, to Ocala, Marion County. The city engaged several partners, for the purpose of conducting a comprehensive feasibility study and providing concept designs for a possible stadium. When the feasibility assessment revealed positive economic outcomes for the community at large, the focus of the work changed. Beginning in early 2013, negotiations commenced on a license agreement and with various property owners for the acquisition of land necessary for building a stadium. Let me take just a moment to introduce the partners that were instrumental in doing the feasibility study. First, if you'll raise your hand, Chip Hayward, senior architect and the project manager, and Jerry Dabkowski, principal with Michael Baker Corporation. They served as prime consultant and project manager today. Charlie Johnson, president of Johnson Consulting, served as market, financial, and economic consultant. Tim Bennett, who is not here today, is president of Overtime Sports, served as a baseball business consultant. And Doug Dill of Dill Partners Architects assisted with concept design of the stadium. Today's presentation will begin with Charlie Johnson, president of Johnson Consulting, who will provide an overview of the feasibility study with an emphasis on the market analysis and a minor league baseball overview. Mr. Chip Hayward of Michael Baker Corporation will follow by revealing the selected stadium site and an overview of the stadium concept design. Mr. Charlie Johnson will then speak to the anticipated economic and fiscal impacts of the project. Mark Mondell, Assistant City Manager of Community Development, will provide an overview of the funding strategy, license agreement with the New York Yankees, and the purchase agreement. After Mark concludes, I will then discuss the proposed timeline for the project and detail a request of the Marion County Board of County Commissioners, which will be necessary in order for the project to come to fruition. The presentation will conclude with comments from Tony Bruno, Senior Vice President, Chief Financial Officer of Yankee Global Enterprises. Because today's meeting is considered a work meeting, attendees will be asked to hold questions and comments until the conclusion of the presentation. Documents discussed in today's workshop will be made available immediately after the work meeting. Copies of documents may also be acquired online by visiting Ocala's internet site at www.ocalafl.org. For members of the audience who are affiliated with a media outlet, a media room has been established directly across the hallway, and members of the consulting team, city council, staff, and New York Yankees will be available for questions in this room immediately after the conclusion of this work meeting. Council members, this is your work meeting. Staff and consultants welcome your questions and comments during the presentation. We'll begin with the presentation by Charlie Johnson.
Good morning.
Morning.
Again, my name is Charlie Johnson, and thank you very much for allowing us to serve you for this project. It's been our pleasure. I am going to be speaking about the demographics and the economic possibilities for this project. In the second component of my comments, I'll talk about the economic impact. So first component is about market. First of all, as one thinks about baseball in this market, have to think of this as a regional project. Not only is it part of the city, part of the county, but as we look to the demographics, we said 45 miles, people drive further than that to shop in this marketplace. So actually the realistic view of your market, because there's nothing towards the north in terms of opportunity and entertainment, and really in a 75-mile region, there is no minor league baseball. So really, you have the 75-mile region to participate in for your drawing market potential. So every time someone gets in a car and drives from the Villages or from any place within that 75-mile ring, they're bringing dollars to this marketplace, spending them, and attending baseball. And in just a moment, I'll illustrate why we think baseball will do very well in this market. First of all, one last component of this slide is there are no teams playing in the immediate vicinity. And you have a baseball culture here with respect to several of the colleges. You just have a new tournament venue that opened up in Newberry. You have the Gators that play nearby, St. Leo College. And all those things really serve to make this kind of a baseball-rich environment. Also, when we look at the visitation and the residency of the region, as well as when you look even further down to the Villages, for example, when we did survey work, we saw that there's a preponderance of people that migrated from the New York marketplace that have an affinity towards the Yankees. And so I think those all lend themselves well to portend well for the opportunity for baseball. Next slide. Minor League Baseball is the development league for Major League Baseball. So the Single A, Double A, and Triple A all feed into Major League Baseball. And it's very important to realize that these are kind of an overhead expense to the Major League teams. Here, the Yankees have committed to make this a very special opportunity for Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball. They're going to work very hard. They realize that the trend is to leave stadiums where spring training as well as minor league play together, like as is the case here. And this will be exclusively oriented towards the minor league baseball. We'll not have a spring training activity here. So they're going to have very much a big fish in a smaller pond with respect to entertainment, competition, etc. So we expect that the attendance level will be on a comparatively high level compared to other Florida State League teams. Now, when you look at the Florida State League compared to other minor league baseball leagues, the California League, the Carolina League, and Class A Advanced, you see that the Florida leagues are a little bit lower. And a couple reasons for that. And we have to take that into account when we do our attendance projections, and we do. So we have a structural lower level of attendance, largely because of other options that are available to compete with minor league baseball. So when we look at all the other stadiums, almost all have spring training. We don't have that. We don't have anything that's going to compete with our minor league baseball team. So when we look at a couple other markets like that, I'm going to illustrate to you. But we've been reflective of the structural lower level of attendance at minor league baseball. So on the next slide, this slide is called market penetration. And it basically says of all the population in our market, of the equivalent amount, how many people come to the baseball stadium. So in Charlotte, the Stone Crabs, Charlotte County, you'll see that it's a small population, but they have a big attendance. So almost 1.5 times their population goes to baseball games. Now that doesn't mean everybody goes 1.5 times. You may have a lot of people and you have a lot of tourists that attend baseball games and second home owners that attend baseball games in that market. Daytona, same thing. It has a high penetration. It says half the population of the marketplace goes to baseball games in that marketplace. And you'll see when you get to the larger markets that have a lot of competition and a lot of other activities, you have a fractional amount of the population equivalent that goes to baseball games when you relate attendance to population. So We think that the market here is going to be towards the higher level of penetration because you're like, more like those other markets where you can, where they achieve the higher penetration. So as you see, one other point on this slide relates to the fact that this is a family entertainment and low-cost activity for families. And so I think that those are other things that are going to make the attendance here be very attractive to the marketplace. Next slide. So we thought about how this market's going to attend from an attendance standpoint, perform from an attendance standpoint. So what we said, let's assume that it does what the average penetration is in terms of population of all the other teams. So and you saw that on the preceding slide, the average is 32% penetration in relation to population. You have 300 and some odd thousand people here. So if you took 30% of that, that would be about 900 people per game. But we know that that's going to be higher than that because there's some factors for this project. And one of the things that was very important in our site analysis was to make sure that this project not only was just a stadium in isolation, but had the opportunity to become an anchor to a larger entertainment district. And that's something that was very sensitive in our thought process, because we have found that, you know, I think in Pinellas County, you have the Clearwater team and you have the Dunedin team, and they are absolute opposite performers. One's one of the highest in the league and one's one of the lowest in the league. And why is that? The setting for the Clearwater team is entirely different than the setting for the Dunedin team. And we have a setting that is superior to the Clearwater team even in terms of interstate frontage and what we propose to evolve around the potential site that I'll talk about in just a moment. So we say that there are a few factors that are going to make this team successful and from an attendance standpoint. So we start with the average of the league, and that's 1,075 people. And we add to that the fact that it's got an I-75 presence, and we have enough land to make something interesting evolve around it. Already there's residential and retail, and we think those are going to strengthen, but there are other things that can come to that interesting site given the logistics and the visibility of that site. We also think the Yankees are something that are unbelievable with respect to brand opportunity for the community. There, I think that, you know, by definition, you're putting sugar right into, you're putting honey right in the honey nest with the New Yorkers that live in the area, the Northeasterners that live in the area. I think that there will be the demographics from an age standpoint and family on one hand, and retirees and empty nesters on the other, have time to go to visit these types of activities. Next, as we see the trends for baseball, if we have additional support fields around the venue, we see collegiate opportunities, we see a variety of other things that will make this a more baseball intensive opportunity. And the Yankees have also committed to really work with this team to make it one of their stronger development league teams, as well as an entertainment venue for each game will become an event in its own right. And finally, for the first few years, we have a novelty effect. And the next slide kind of shows the buildup of the attendance that we showed. So over the course of time, you'll see that we show the components of demand that we build up over time. So you have a base attendance based upon your MSA. You have the I-75 and the entertainment district. You have the Yankee brand bonus. You'll see that the way the Yankees plan on treating this team is going to be very special. And finally, as you open this project, we're going to see a very high degree of interest, which kind of peters out over a little bit after the facility opens. But structurally, there's a more long-term type of growth and attendance given the growth of the site around there and the interest that will continue to build for these types of projects. People will start increasingly buy season tickets. More corporations will use it for corporate support for their businesses, et cetera. So that's why we see an increase over the course of time. So the next slide shows us where our attendance is. So we're saying, in our numbers that we present in our economic impact, we're showing only 84 dates, the preponderance of which is baseball, and we're showing 165,000 attendees going through the turnstiles every year. Well, we were sensitive to being conservative in our numbers. So I think that our attendance number is reasonable. There's no question about that. But where we thought we wanted to be safe, we didn't show any concerts, didn't show any entertainment events, and we were very comfortable with the average attendance we have for college baseball and high schools. We really think this is going to be a very strong tournament venue. And so we think that those are going to be added to the numbers that we presented here. And also I think that, you know, the collegiate play, the interplay between seeing a spring training game here or two, those types of things we think will be added to the attendance projections that we have. So the final slide that I'm going to speak upon relates to showing you the fact that 80% of the stadiums in this list have spring training in them. Yours is going to be yours will be the newest stadium in all these facilities, exclusively oriented towards minor league baseball. I think that's very special, and I think it really relates to a capability of this facility performing at the higher range of the attendance. Again, I also conclude that because you don't have other competing activities and sporting events, that you will also participate. You'll be along the lines of Stone Crabs and Daytona Cubs. I think that's the spectrum that we would see you all participating. I'm going to turn my the podium over to Chip now. He's going to talk about the stadium site and design.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Chip Hayward. I'm a senior architect and the project manager. I'm with Michael Baker Corporation. And what I'm going to cover this morning is the site plans and the building. Before I get started, I just wanted to say that we really appreciate the opportunity to work with the city staff and the New York Yankees and our team of consultants in putting on this report together. The site selection process involved evaluating over 26 sites in the city of Ocala. We looked at a 2-mile wide corridor along I-75. We evaluated some sites that were in the downtown city area. And we basically evaluated these using a matrix. We looked at a number of criteria, and some of that criteria included vehicular access, parking, the availability of the land to be used for residual development, visibility from I-75, and the infrastructure for as far as utilities were concerned. We ultimately narrowed it down to 5 potential sites that we thought were viable, and then we focused on one of those sites. Each of the 5 sites that we considered, we developed conceptual plans, which are included in our report. Again, the process of going through this site selection was very analytical and objective, and we ultimately settled on this site that I have shown here. Just to kind of give you an orientation, north is on the top of the drawing. This is I-75 right here. We have State Road 200. We have the market retail complex that's there. We have the 42nd Street flyover, which is just above this area right here. And we also have an access road which is planned from 200 in this location. It's very important in a stadium like this to have multiple points of ingress and egress. As you can imagine, people coming to the stadium and leaving. So that's why we settled primarily on this site. The concept plans that you see in the report initially contemplated this road becoming a frontage road along I-75, but through some negotiations and discussion with the property owners, we have moved that inboard from the interstate corridor. One of the things that is very important with this site, as Charlie mentioned, is visibility from I-75. This drawing right here shows the location of the proposed stadium. It is the exact geometry of the Yankees Stadium in New York, and it is oriented the same way as the Yankee Stadium in New York. The next slide basically shows the field level plan. This shows the field level plan. There's a common corridor that runs as a spine through the stadium. On the ground floor, we have team offices. We have offices for the sales staff. In addition, we have concession food prep areas, which are along the third baseline, and storage for food and a loading dock area. We have team locker rooms and batting cages, weight training rooms. We also have visiting team locker rooms that are on this ground floor plan, and we have incorporated some ancillary locker rooms that would be used by college teams if they were playing in this facility. You'll see later, we're going to talk about the seating berm. We have a grass berm that's only in the outfield. In addition, we have a stormwater retention pond, which captures some of the irrigation water, and we recycle that water through this process. The second floor plan basically shows the seating bowl, and you enter the concourse level through an entry plaza, which I'll show you a little bit more about later. We have an open concourse plan with concessions that are on the periphery of this concourse. We have a family fun zone that we've incorporated into the concourse. We have a variety of seating options. We have a grass outfield berm seating that would be provided. We have a terraced picnic seating area. We have club seats that are located directly behind the home plate. And we also have a number of general seats, and we provided ample shading for some of those seats in the afternoon. So it's a very exciting space. It'll be full of activity, and we're excited about that. This is the third level plan, and it shows the press box. It shows the video control room, which is very important to the stadium to control the scoreboard and energize the crowd. We have several varieties of custom suites that would be provided. We have approximately 132 seats that are being provided as suite seats. In addition to those suites, we have two party suites, which are on each wing, that are used for groups and gatherings. We also have on the third floor a community room or a special meeting room that might be used as a meet and greet event for players after a game or before a game, or that would be used for special events and community meetings. This next drawing shows a rendering of the proposed facility, and we've taken some historical context from the Yankees the Yankee Stadium in New York. We wanted to create a sense of entry and a sense of experience going to the stadium. So, I want you to imagine smelling popcorn, the crack of the bat, smelling a grilled sausage, which is my personal favorite. And we also created kind of a walk of fame. I get kind of choked up about this. I'm imagining my grandson walking through this walk of fame, you know, and basically experiencing baseball. So anyway, we wanted to reinforce this as a family outing and a family event, and that's what's illustrated by this. So people would walk through here, go into the main entry, and then walk up to the concourse. This second rendering basically shows the dynamics of the stadium, the importance of the visibility from I-75, and the potential residual development that might be, you know, the result of development of the stadium. I think that it's very important to understand the dynamics of this stadium from an economic impact. Imagine people driving by on their way to Disney or on their way home to Disney, saying, hey, we should stop there and maybe go take in a game, you know, on the way home during the summer. So Charlie is going to talk more about the economic impacts of the stadium, but I think this rendering says a lot about potential. Oh, I'm going to talk about cost. I'm sorry. My charge is to also go over the cost of the project. We looked at this project estimate was very conservative. We have built in a 20% contingency in a lot of these numbers. The stadium costs are estimated to be approximately $38.2 million. The land acquisition for the stadium is estimated to be approximately $2.3 million. There is other land that is being considered at another $2.3 million. The access road construction from 200 to the stadium is estimated to be approximately $3 million. And the 49th Avenue extension is estimated to be $7 million. So now Charlie's going to talk about the economic impacts.
Sometimes these stadiums are built as civic gestures. Sometimes they're built in fairly poor locations, and they're not thought out very well. And so our guidance to the staff and to you all has really been to locate this in an environment where you can create the maximum amount of value. Not only do we want to have a good experience for the people that go, we want to see this create an environment that really contributes to the economic well-being of Ocala. So and the county, and I think that that's very important because this is a regional development and an asset. So as you look at the graphic that I showed, we took a lot of time thinking about how to communicate what this is trying to accomplish. And I think as the city, in fact, the way one of the agreements in terms of the land structure with the Yankees provides the city with economic incentives to create development on the project. That's perfect, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. So as this project starts with the upper box, we see it creating value to the immediate area around the stadium, but also as you go out in concentric rings, the value increases as well. So we see the opportunity of creating interest in adjacent land and the next level of land, this being a very attractive residential location. And because of the visitation it will come to, we'll have extra almost 200,000 people coming to this venue, creating opportunities for retail and other activity. Not only that, we see the opportunities to, when someone comes to this facility through a marketing campaign, etc., see other assets, see the springs, to also come in to visit downtown and take advantage of some of the attributes of this community. So that's what I would see this turning into being. So we see you lay the groundwork, And then over time, the circle of influence becomes bigger and deeper, and we would see that happening. And they feed on each other. As the stadium does better, the neighborhood will have more influence and become more valuable, and then more investment comes, and then it keeps helping each other. And that's why they have the orange arrows going back and forth, trying to reinforce each other component of that demand and development. So I think that the strategy that you all have taken with respect to site selection gives it the greatest identity possible, and then has adjacent land that allows the neighborhood to create. I live in Chicago, so hopefully a form of a Wrigleyville in the neighborhood around there over the course of time. And that's possible. The other scenario really relates to possibility of creating a sports complex with local oriented fields, other tourist amenities that could be there, and other retail development that'll happen there. The next slide really shows the notion of how these businesses influence each other. So we're gonna have a baseball team come into the market. We're gonna attract tourists as well as Florida residents to your economy. And then you're gonna have, over time, other activities evolve around the site. And all these things start to, when we go to the next slide, and you can do that actually. So we say, as this project gets built, we're going to, the construction project alone for the $38 million project is going to create 700 jobs. So that's economic volume that's happening in your economy. Over the time, because of the nature of the baseball stadium, we're going to actually employ directly and indirectly 330 people. So the stadium will have its employment. The Yankees as a business unit will have employees here. So that's a new business that will be shifting to this market. Then all the vendors that will serve this venue, which are shown in the preceding slide in that graphic there, will be supporting this operation. Then from that, you have other activities that come. So more tourists will come, and they'll see other activities in the community, and they'll start participating in museums and other restaurants and retail opportunities. So as that all happens, we expect to have $18.4 million of direct and indirect spending from the stadium alone, as well as approximately 19,000 room nights be generated. And let's talk about the room nights for a moment. You know, I've just finished working in Harford County, where Cal Ripken has one of his tournament venues. And if this is a tournament venue, which I think it will ultimately become, he has support there for two hotels right on property. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that the Yankees have development rights for some type of commercial development. Could be hotel, could be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. But we know that there's demand and opportunity. In the short term, so we don't know exactly how many room nights, but existing hotels are going to be benefiting to some level of hotel demand. Then we have 84 events. Again, I say that that's probably conservative. We don't have any concerts. We have a relatively low level of tournament play. And then we have just the baseball games themselves as primarily the activity. And 175,000 people going through the turnstiles every year. So that's the economic impact analysis. And now Mark is going to talk a little bit about how the deal is structured. Thank you.
This thing for me and put this up. So before I talk about the deal structure, I'd like to refer back to something that Charlie alluded to during his first segment. And that is typically minor league baseball and the stadiums they're associated with are not major profit centers. Right, as he mentioned, minor league baseball is typically an overhead expense for major league baseball. It's the proving grounds for these players to advance into the big leagues. And so that was that. You have to recognize that fact as you go into trying to negotiate a deal. We looked at a number of deals across the state. We visited a number of stadiums through in the state and outside of the state to try to look at how these projects are put together. while you've seen a lot and you realize there are a lot of moving parts and pieces to the project, the reality is the business deal that we've structured is pretty straightforward and pretty simple. Fundamentally, you have a stadium that is publicly owned, and you have the Yankees as the primary tenant to play baseball in that stadium. Because the stadium would be publicly owned, it'll have the ability to have many public events in the stadium. So that's sort of the foundation. What I want to talk about in terms of this image that's on your screen is Chip mentioned to you that we have included a potential access road from State Road 200 and, of course, an access point to the flyover. In the binders that you have, City Council, you have a purchase agreement. I'm going to talk about the license agreement that's between the city and the team, and then the purchase agreement that's between the city and the property owner, and I'll talk about that property owner in a second. We are in ongoing negotiations with a second property owner for the potential of extending what we're referring to as 49th Avenue all the way through to 66th Street. Currently, though, in the agreement you have, 49th Avenue would stop right where my finger is pointing to, okay? All the property that is owned between these two yellow lines, my fingers here, is owned by an entity called Calitrophy Limited. All the property south of this yellow line is owned by an entity called 42nd Street Flyover. And so in order to move the project forward, we have those agreements in place that would allow the project to advance. We're hoping to continue to negotiate to only enhance the project as we go forward. All the cost estimates that you've seen so far assume that we will enter into an agreement and extend the road all the way to 66th, okay? So let's go into the first slide. We're gonna talk about the license agreement. I'm gonna wander just a little bit to make sure I can see it. Actually, I can see it through both sides. So the license agreement between the city of Ocala and the Yankees obligates the Yankees to a 25-year lease term with 3 10-year renewal options. Under that agreement, the city will be responsible for constructing all stadium improvements, and that's everything you've seen so far. The stadium itself, acquiring the land, building all the infrastructure, roads, water, sewer, electric, so on and so forth, stormwater, landscaping. Under that agreement, the Yankees will be responsible for all operations and management of that facility, marketing, promotions, player development, office functions. They'll also be responsible for all regular and capital maintenance items. All regular maintenance are things like replacing light bulbs, painting the walls, fixing the seats. Capital maintenance items are things like replacing the field, replacing all the seats, replacing the air conditioning units. Okay. Out of the revenues in the stadium, the city will receive 75 cents per ticket sold, have the ability to receive a percentage of naming rights above a base level. Naming rights, as you probably are familiar with, are having a major corporate sponsor come in and for advertising purposes agree to provide a certain amount of funding for the right to advertise that field or that stadium under their name. You see it in professional sports all the time. Of course, we think there is a strong possibility of that because of its visibility from I-75, and you have almost 70,000 cars passing that roadway daily. And then the city also has the ability to receive up to $2 ticket surcharge per ticket. The Yankees will retain all other revenues, broadcasting rights, concessions, parking if there is a fee related to parking, so on and so forth. That makes sense, of course, because they've assumed all operation expenses and maintenance expenses. The city revenues will be placed in a capital improvement account, which the Yankees can request for capital maintenance expenses. So let me go back to what I mentioned in the very beginning. Typically, minor league baseball and the stadiums are not major profit centers. And so our strategy and goal going into this was to make sure, we want to make sure that the Yankees have the best opportunity to be successful in Ocala, because if they're successful and we're driving attendance and people to this area, we have a much better chance that we can develop this entire entertainment district. And if the entertainment district is successful, it'll feed back into the Yankees' success, so on and so forth, and it'll feed into the community's success. So just like a city department would, through the budget process, the city council request dollars for an infrastructure project, the Yankees have the ability every year to come to the city and say, we have some capital maintenance expenses, we'd like to request some of the dollars in that fund to pay for those expenses. Assuming it's a qualified expense and city council approves it, then those items, the dollars will be withdrawn from the account. However, what this is very important, our obligation for capital maintenance and those dollars is only to the dollars in that fund. Anything above that is the Yankees' responsibility. Okay, next slide. The stadium premises are to be owned by Marion County to be immune from or exempt from real property taxes. Typically in Florida, you will see that most stadiums are either owned by counties or sports authorities. And the reason for that is so that they are immune from property taxes. Again, getting back to my earlier statement, these are not typically profit centers for teams. The estimated taxes for this facility were about $600,000 a year. If the Yankees had to pay $600,000 a year, it would render the project financially infeasible for them. So just like they have in Tampa currently, we're proposing that the county would own this facility for the sole purpose of being able to provide immunity from property taxes. We could give you more information in detail on that if you'd like later. Also, as part of this deal, the Yankees have the ability or option to lease 10 acres of land from the city for commercial development purposes. Going back to what Chip and Charlie said, again, we want to create this entertainment district. And so we want this property to develop, ideally we want it to develop as quick as possible, simultaneous with the stadium perhaps. And so the Yankees have the ability, they've indicated an interest, as you know, they own properties here currently in Ocala, they've indicated an interest in being part of that development process, and so they can lease up to 10 acres of land for commercial development purposes. If they do, they will pay the city a fair market lease rate based on the income producing portions of the property only. What we did is we tried to figure out if they leased all 10 acres and developed it along the lines of other development you see currently in the State Road 200 corridor, a lot of that's retail type development, what might be the payback for that leasing of land? And we've estimated that it would be about 5.8 years that we would receive a complete return in terms of the dollars we're investing to buy the property. They would not be immune from taxes on the commercial property. They would pay property taxes, tangible taxes, utility payments, so on and so forth. Next slide. The agreement includes a number of contingencies, which if they're not fulfilled, the agreement could be terminated. You'll see in your packet a listing of all those contingencies. I'll give you an example. One is the referendum. You'll see Matt will talk a little bit about how to fund the stadium. It includes a referendum. If the referendum doesn't pass, then the project would be terminated. It includes Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball approval, so if that doesn't occur, the project will be terminated. And Mr. Bruno can speak to that a little bit later. There are a number of community benefits. I've only listed, I think, four here that are in agreement. The city can utilize the stadium for up to 20 annual community events per year. They can request additional events. The Yankees have agreed to promote the city and its economic development efforts and in certain advertisements that they may make. They've agreed to provide at least 4 annual charity event dates where they'll provide 250 tickets to a charitable organization or school. They've agreed to provide at least 4 players for an annual public appearance in the community. And there are many others. Next. The next agreement I'd like to talk about is the purchase agreement. And this is with Ocala Trophy. We currently have I'll just refer to it as an option, to purchase 52 acres from Ocala Trophy for the stadium project and all the supporting related infrastructure. We also have an option to purchase an additional 15 acres from Ocala Trophy, and we are working, as I mentioned, on a second agreement with 42nd Street Flyover for the possibility of purchasing additional 30 acres from 42nd Street Flyover if necessary to support the project. And when I say if necessary, that is because while we have enough land under our current agreement to do the stadium and the parking and the stormwater, if ultimately it's decided that we want to have support other outdoor athletic facilities or other types of uses around it, then we'll have the ability to acquire more land if that's ultimately decided to be desirable. That agreement includes a number of contingencies like the license agreement, and it also requires the city to put down about $40,000 in deposits. Next slide. The next slide I think Mr. Brower is going to speak to.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. So let's talk about the project schedule at a high altitude first, and then we'll get more specific about the project timeline. As you can see, the first baseball there on the lower left-hand side is finalized team negotiations in the fall of 2013. Those negotiations, I believe, are near wrapped up, and we're ready to move on to the next step. Next step is develop, obviously, public support for the project. And this is going to be an ongoing endeavor to try to get that support. The next step that would commence in the fall of 2013 is finalize the funding, and we'll talk about a sales tax referendum in just a moment, which would be the driver of funding for the project. In the spring of 2014, we would initiate preliminary design phase for the stadium itself. To date, we've only done the conceptual plans. In the spring, we would do preliminary design phase. If the sales tax referendum is completed, the construction would commence, take approximately 18 months, so that the first pitch would be thrown out in the spring of 2016. Next slide, please. So in order to pull this project off, we have to have a partner. And as you know, the Marion County Board of County Commissioners have been our partners, walking hand in hand with economic development projects. We would need their assistance to make sure that this project was successful. And there are five items that we would need to make a request of our partners. The first request is to place the stadium project on the ballot for a sales tax referendum no later than March 31st of 2014. Now, a sales tax referendum would be 0.5 cent for 5 years, which would generate $17 million annually, or $82 million in today's dollars over the 5 years. Two, we'd ask our partners to own the stadium premises by December 31st, 2013. Mark talked about the reasoning behind requesting the county to own the stadium. That was primarily for the abatement of the taxes on the project. Three, we'd ask our partners to fund 1/2 of the referendum cost, not to exceed $175,000. Four, we'd ask our partners to include Southwest 49th Avenue as part of the project managed by the city. Recall, this is the project that comes off the flyover and heads south through Ocala Trophy property, as well as the 42nd Street flyover property. And fifth, has agreed to dedicate up to $60 million in sales tax revenue to the stadium project, $1.6 million per state statute to each municipality in Marion County, and establish a citizen oversight committee to ensure remaining tax proceeds estimated at $21.2 million are spent on projects that will increase tourism and job creation. And let me kind of give you a taste of what those might entail. One is springs protection, restoration, and enhancement. Two is expanded recreational activities. You might recall Charlie talking about the economic impact could be heightened if this was a tournament center, a tournament destination. Three, improved access to equestrian activities and locations. And the fourth example is infrastructure supporting new or expanding businesses. The common denominator amongst all four of these is that they're economic drivers, tourism enhancers, and job creators. Next, please. So let's talk about the referendum schedule. Today, of course, is October 29th, and we're making a presentation during the City Council workshop. Staff would ask that the Ocala City Council, during their regular meeting on November 5th, or perhaps a special meeting that could take place before the regular meeting, adopt the license agreement with the Yankees, the property agreement with Ocala Trophy, and approve the transmittal of the documents and the five requests to the Board of County Commissioners. On November 19th, the City Commission would hopefully have a workshop sometime before the Thanksgiving holiday to receive the transmission of the request and for the first time themselves be able to deliberate it and vet it and be able to make some decisions on that. December 17th, we would ask that the City Commission, the County Commission, would meet and adopt an ordinance or introduce an ordinance which would approve the sales tax referendum and do the second reading on that ordinance on January 7th, 2014, so that the referendum could take place in March of 2014. Next, please. So that is, in essence, the timeline as well as the request of the Board of County Commissioners. It's important to understand that our partners, the county, will have to be players in this so that we can carry this project forward into fruition. I'm now going to invite up Tony Bruno, who serves as the Senior Vice President, Chief Financial Officer of Yankee Global Enterprises.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here this morning. It's been a couple of years of a lot of work. So first, on behalf of the Steinbrenner family, my colleagues that are here today from the Yankees and our entire organization, I first wanted to thank the mayor, who seems like it was yesterday, but it was 2 years ago, came down to Tampa to meet and propose the idea of resurrecting a conversation that had started years about 10 years ago by Mr. Steinbrenner, about the idea of bringing the Class A Florida State League team to Ocala. And then from that point on, with the leadership of Matt and Mark, the efforts that they have taken and the guidance that they have shown through this process. I want to thank you for the interest and the overwhelming level of energy that you have brought to the project. And it would be remiss without thanking the three of you all. And I know that you have staffs and such behind you that are doing that. And Jimmy, your work on the legal side. So thank you. About 10 years ago, Mr. Steinmeier first considered the idea of bringing the team to Ocala. As many of you know, the Steinbrenner family and the Yankee organization have had ties to Ocala for over 30 years, almost 40 years. We've had a great relationship with Ocala and Marion County, and he always believed that this would be a great fit for that team. Tampa is a different market. Tampa has competition from not only Major League Baseball, which it didn't back when he first bought the team in 73, of course, has competition from other major league sports like hockey and football. And the team somewhat got lost there. It also plays in a outsized stadium for this type of a team. And he always loved this area and always found great interest and enthusiasm for the team and the brand here, and felt this was an excellent place to do this. So it was an interest of mine. I was involved in those conversations 10 years ago, and it was an interest of mine when the mayor proposed the idea that we bring this back up, and that's what we've been doing for 2 years, talking about it. We believe in this market. We believe that bringing the brand to the market is going to be an excellent partnership with the city and the county. As you've seen from the attention that this has garnered, our brand has that effect. And I think that's unusual in not only baseball, but it's probably unusual in most businesses. The Interlocking NY is one of the most recognizable brands in the world. And I think it was always Mr. Steinbrenner's intent to expand that here because of his love for the area and the affiliations that he had. We think this is truly a win-win scenario. We envision an appropriately sized park that will provide an excellent development opportunity for our young players that hopefully one day go on to become future Yankees. The win for the community is this will truly be an economic driver. Partnering with a worldwide brand like the Yankees will be a unique opportunity, and we believe the community will tremendously benefit from it. Our players and coaches will live here. We'll bring business opportunities to this community, and that we'll have, as the gentleman before me have mentioned, we'll have a number of hotel rooms that will be used, and restaurants will be used, and cars will be rented, and apartments will be rented. So we believe that we're going to bring true business to this market and to this area. We also believe it will bring recognition to the area as well, as our brand tends to do in the communities that we participate in partnership with. And when it comes to being community partners, we believe this is something that we have a strong history of. If you drive to Tampa and you see where we have left our mark as an organization as well as our ownership group, and we do that certainly in the Bronx, in New York, and we expect that we'll do that here as well. We do numbers of events at the stadium for charities, some of which we're obligated to do. It's kind of one of the easier conversations, easiest aspects of our negotiation, was talking about the community events. We do about as many as we're asked to do, which obviously, within reason, as long as it's not disrupting our field or disrupting our operation. We're hosting this Saturday. It's about the 50th year in a row we're doing a Light the Night Walk for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society at the stadium. The organization embraces efforts like that, and we'll do that. You'll find us doing that here. We'll be great supporters of the community, and our players will be great supporters of the community. We've deployed throughout our entire organization a concept called Hope Week. If you take a look, we started it in New York about 4 years ago, and now each of our affiliates do that. And it's really a concept about giving back and helping people that are trying to help others, or people that have had hardship and have overcome them, and we recognize them. We do that in Tampa today is the same way we do that in New York, and we do that in our other affiliates. And that's something that I think you'll see us do here. We appreciate the consideration given to this project, and we've worked very hard to get here today. I know we're in probably the second inning, but we're, with the enthusiasm of this group, we're confident that we'll get through the rest of the process. I was in researching what I was going to say this morning. We have an affiliate. We have a partner, Dayton Dragons. One of our affiliations, a partner with one of our other minor league team, and they developed a team in Dayton, and it's truly been transformational for the community. And just a couple of quotes. One of the principals of the organization testified in front of Congress back in 2007, and I thought it was really appropriate for this conversation today. You know, a city with the proper tools, an engaged partner with the right economic deal can create something that can not only benefit a community, but something that can be a force to change the community forever. The quality of life will allow us to compete for people, companies, and economically well into the future. I thought it was really prophetic. I thought that it really applied in the situation today. I thank you all for giving us this opportunity. I look forward to working with a number of you as we move through the process, and I know we'll be available for questions later. Thank you.
Madam President, that concludes the formal presentation this afternoon. We are open for comments and questions from those in attendance this afternoon.
Okay. Allison Campbell.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Allison Campbell, 4720 Southeast 33rd Street, City of Ocala resident. I did not grow up in Florida. I'm not a Florida native, but I had the opportunity growing up just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, actually 45 minutes outside of Chattanooga. And I had the privilege of having season tickets to the Chattanooga Lookouts minor league baseball team growing up most of my childhood. We had four tickets, in fact, myself, my parents, and my grandfather, three generations, attended nearly every minor league baseball game at Chattanooga Lookout Stadium that I can imagine. And that was 45 minutes from my hometown. So one thing that I want to stress to you is this isn't just about Ocala. This is about the surrounding areas, because again, we drove 45 minutes to see nearly every baseball game that there was in Chattanooga. I have three little boys now. And so whenever we go to Daytona on vacation, we go to Daytona Cubs games. I want to be able to have that right here in my own hometown. That's not something that I want to have to drive an hour and a half to go see. I want to have minor league baseball for my children, to be able to share that with them as well, pass it on to them, just like I grew up with minor league baseball. I also had the opportunity of living in another minor league baseball town in Norfolk, Virginia. It was a AAA facility. Nevertheless, the Mets were there at the time. So I know what it's like to live in minor league baseball towns. I'm not sure that's something that many people in this room have the opportunity to do, but I know what an economic driver it can be, what a unifier it can be, and how you will see so many people, every nationality, every ethnicity, every religion, creed, you name it, all age ranges that attend minor league baseball. It is a unifier, and I think it's very, very needed in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Sokin.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Is there a time limit how much I can talk?
5 minutes.
A little longer?
Okay, four.
I'm Dr. Sokin. I have been a doctor here for 32 years. I have lived in Florida for 45 years. If I sound rude, I apologize. That's how I talk and all. This is the most asinine idea I ever heard. I like this gentleman who presented all those numbers. Please explain to me, and I'm going to make you some statements, and you correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Have you all read the book called The Field of Schemes?
Dr. Sokin.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you give us your name and address?
I'm Dr. Sokin.
Try to talk
to us. My address is 1839 Southeast 22nd Street.
Okay.
Dr. Sokin, also, you need to address the council.
Okay.
The people at the podium don't ask questions of the staff.
Okay.
See, I'm going to make some statements. These gentlemen can answer me later. New York Yankees don't make money. If the city of New York City doesn't give them the money. They sold bonds, and then there's a program called PILOT, where tax in lieu of payment for the bonds. And then Mayor Giuliani gave them another $275 million. And so because of all the tax money, TV revenue, and big corporations, New York Inc. is so evil. Many of the sports teams don't make money. College football teams, about 22 of them make money, most of them in the Southeastern Conference. Everything else, somebody else pays. For all the 75 cents they told us they are going to give per ticket, as a county and city, according to my math, we'll be spending $12. Okay? And this is we tried having a baseball team here. We built a stadium, and that wasn't even minor league. It was a spring training. And baseball in this country is a dying sport. The attendance in baseball has gone down. If this is so good a deal, why would anybody want to come to this poor city where we have mostly service industry, low-paying jobs? Why would they come here? And if the Steinbrenner family feels so charitable to this county, maybe they should come and build the stadium for us. It'll be millions of their money that they had to spend to build this stadium for us. And I don't think this is a good idea to build a stadium here. All it is going to do is cost us money forever. I had to give a long speech to explain the mathematics of this. We are very irrational. We tend to love in haste and then debt us forever. And this is what's going to happen. We are going to keep losing money forever. I'll be glad to come and talk to the council members separately and explain the mathematics of it. All I have to say is, if it is that good a deal, a private business, they will do the whole thing and sell the ticket rather than come and ask us for the money. And that's what I think. And every time when we go with the sports team, the taxpayers are suckers. And that's what I think. So would you please explain to me how the PILOT program, all the money, you know, New York Yankees made, how the stadium was built, and what happened, and have you ever read the book, Field of Schemes, or Free Lunch? And the arguments in this book, maybe you could explain.
Dr. Sokin.
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been in Ocala?
32 years.
Why have you stayed here 32 years if this is such a poor town and blah, blah, blah?
Because
I've been here 30-something
years. I was teaching in Gainesville. I was given the option of moving here. And there were no plastic surgeons, so chief of plastic surgery advised that I can work in both places. So I stayed here. I was teaching for a while. And I like this town. And our town lacks education and better jobs. We don't need any more sports team.
Okay.
And also, I want you to understand one mathematics of it. Every family has recreation dollar. Say you spend $100 a month for recreation and another $100 for shopping. Okay? If you take money from one recreation, like watching your high school team play football or your college team play football, if you go to a baseball game here, you are not going to go to the high school game. So all you are doing is moving revenue from one place to the other. When I came here, we had 4 golf courses. Now we have 25 golf courses, and a lot of them stay empty 90% of the time. And we waste water We waste resources, we cut down trees building those golf courses, and we pollute the water with all the fertilizer and all. And this building down there in the nice area, it's not going to do anything for this nice, pretty town that was once.
Okay.
Okay? That's my feeling.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to make a come on forward?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Mike Borchetta. I've been in the music business for 53 years. I grew up in Connecticut. I've been a Yankee fan all my life.
Your address, please.
4698 Northwest 110th, Ocala. We have a farm at that location. And we have a home in Nashville, Tennessee, and a home here. We go back and forth every couple of months. We take care of our horses here and take care of the music business in Nashville. I bought a home in Nashville in 1980 and got to watch the Nashville Sounds play, which was a minor league team for the New York Yankees. Mr. Steinbrenner would come to the games, and Steinbrenner's had a lot of connections with Nashville. I've never seen so much excitement in my life as watching the Nashville Sounds pack that stadium. Like I said, you can't imagine unless you got to witness it, okay? We had local rivalries with Chattanooga, Memphis, Knoxville, Jacksonville, Orlando, and it was a natural competition for those teams. Nashville decided to go AAA, and the Yankees left and went somewhere else. The Yankee draw is absolutely incredible. What people don't realize, I was telling Mr. Felix from the Yankees, I talked to him earlier in the season, you put billboards up, people going up and down I-75 are going to want to get off and come and see what you have. This would be such a tremendous boom for the town of Ocala, for the city of Ocala. I started coming here 25 years ago to visit a radio station, and the last few years we started visiting the farms. I've never fallen in love with the city in my life like I have with the city of Ocala. And my son owns the biggest record label in Nashville, Tennessee. He has Taylor Swift, he has Tim McGraw, he's got 11 records on the charts. You look at it, he has Florida Georgia Line. We've talked about this. You get a venue like this here, I will personally work to help you get people to come to, like some of those big artists to come here and help back you up. I discovered Tim McGraw in 1990. Tim's a very dear friend of mine. His father was a baseball player. I signed Tim to Curb Records because his father was a baseball player. I could personally help, and as a favor to the city, just to help out, help you get this organization rolling and make it happen. Please don't let this pass the city of Ocala down. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Anyone else? Come on.
Howdy.
Hello.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak. Mayor Witt, City of Dunellen, 12121 Riverview, Dunellen. Excited to see that the proposed location is on our side of town. That's exciting for me. And, you know, I speak for myself, not the rest of my council, but I've got your back. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful project. I think, you know, I commend the mayor, you know, drumming this up. We've heard this for a decade or more that it possible, and I know Mr. Steinbrenner was big in the area, so I just can't thank you enough for at least pursuing it. I know it's been expensive just to get to this point, but I think that Western Marion County is going to be blessed to have something like this. So we hope to see it move forward as expedited as possible, and at the same time we know, you know, it's realistic to think that it could be a few years, it sounds like, at least. But we got your back over in Dunellen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Michelle Shearer, 2301 Southeast. Michelle Shearer, 2301 Southeast, 85th Street, Ocala, Florida. President of the Shady Greenway Conservation Alliance. Our concerns are mainly about 66th Street. It is a scenic road, and we just hope that you will keep its integrity if this project should go through. I do think that maybe there is a little bit of rush into this, and to make sure that you've really looked at all the financial well. And so if the project should go through, I know they had a little diagram of what it might be, a design, but I see a lot of palm trees. Part of Ocala is what people like to see are the sprawling oaks and with the moss, and I hope you will consider that if the project should go through. My other concern is the talk of a lot more commercial around it. I do worry about downtown Ocala. It seems as you get on your feet, all of a sudden there's something sprawling, an idea to sprawl the commercial out from downtown. And I just feel, I hope that Ocala will get on its feet, and something like this, too much commercial, would pull the rug out from under its feet again. So please consider that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, Douglas Shear, 2301 Southeast 85th Street. I grew up in Sarasota County. We had spring training. We had minor league ball and all. And people that go to minor league ball, they're not going to rent a lot of hotel rooms. They're not going to, these projections are awful optimistic. And this is going to cost continually to keep up that area, to maintain more road, to do everything. I think you just have to look at it real hard. As was just said, do we want to, I really like the idea of developing downtown Ocala. We're looking at adding across the street from Trinity Catholic, moving the Publix off 200 and moving it over there, opening up Red Oak and Ocala Stud to development and all. The heart of Ocala is going to be like every other big city. There's not going to be a grocery store anywhere in downtown almost, all along 200 and there. All major supermarkets, until you get out to Publix at 40 East, are going to be gone off on side roads and stuff. And that's not what we want. We want Ocala to come back. When I went to college in Ocala, or in Gainesville, I came to JCPenney's right off the square because Gainesville didn't have a JCPenney's to buy stuff and all. And downtown was active. We're just moving the city out and out, and there's not, growth isn't coming back that fast. We're opening up an area. There's already so much empty commercial space and everything. We're talking about growing like Ocala's going to have a half million people pretty soon, and it's not. It's, you know, it's back to growing, and it's going to grow some, and FedEx is going to help it and all, but there's only so much money. We have to concentrate on getting FedEx, getting it going, getting those things going, and we can't raise a half cent to do a lot of things. I mean, we've quit the impact fees. Where's the money to build all these roads going to come from and all? We're going to need new roads over off of 475A is going to have to be widened and stuff. They want to add a turn signal for the new development at Ocala Stud. I mean, we're taking the city further out instead of concentrating it. And Ocala's a great city. We want to develop Silver Springs. We want to develop downtown. We want to get FedEx going. But, guys, you can only do so many things at once. And I really think we're spreading ourselves awful thin, because I think if you talk to any other minor league baseball team town, they don't make money from minor league baseball. The cities that have them and have spring training too, that's a different story. They can bring in those guys have a lot of money to spend that are there for spring training, but it's going to be a hard give. You're going to build a lot. You're going to invest a lot. You're going to have to keep it up, more road maintenance, more everything, and the tax dollars aren't going to be there. So I just hope you think very carefully. Thank you.
Anyone else? Back to council. Do you have any comments?
I'll make some comments. Well, I appreciate everyone being here today and taking an interest in this project. You know, like Mr. Bruno said, you know, Mr. Steinbrenner and some folks were interested in doing this about 10 years ago. And kind of funny that one of the sites that I had suggested at that time is actually this site. You know, and Mr. Bruno also brought up this team, the Dayton Dragons. That was a team that's about an hour drive away from Cincinnati. That's a team that, in a city that everyone had, or a lot of people had the same comments you probably heard here, it'll never work, it's a bad idea, not good for Dayton, and on and on and on. The current mayor, or the mayor at that time, was a mayor named Mike Turner, who's now a congressman. That team has sold out every game, every year, since they began, every game, every year, for 12 years. And everyone said, it'll never work. It's the same comments that I'm hearing today. You know, someone talked about the field that we built before, Garrick Field. It was named after Mayor Garrick. It was built in the 30s during the Depression. We tore it down because drug dealers and prostitutes were hiding behind the walls. I would have told you to get rid of the drug dealers and the prostitutes, keep stadium. But anyway, I believe we can do this. I believe in our community, and I know this is the right thing to do. If it wasn't the right thing to do, I would have never suggested it. But I think it's good for Ocala, it's good for Marion County, and I would hope that we would move forward and do this, and that the public would support it, and that the county commission would embrace it, put it on the agenda, let the people vote, let the people decide what to do with their own money. But I just believe in Ocala, and I think the rest of the people here in Ocala believe in ourselves, and I think we can do this. That's all I've got, Madam President.
Yeah, just a couple things of some of the opposition that we've heard. You know, minor league baseball may or may not, you know, we sit there and we look at the numbers of it, and you can argue it either way. You know, I can sit here and tell you, everybody knows in this room I play golf. If a man by the name of Steve Marino walked in this room right here, I think maybe Drew Diddy and Troy might know who Steve Marino is, because he's about 137th on the money list. If Tiger Woods walks in that door, everybody in this room, whether you play golf or no, knows that Tiger Woods just walked in the door. The Yankees are a little bit bigger. My 94-year-old grandmother could care less about sports. She sees that logo. That's the Yankees. She just knows. So the Yankees are a little bit bigger than baseball. So when we talk about having that logo on I-75, and we look at the FedEx logo that's going to be on the side of a building on the north end of our community, to have New York Yankees on the south end of that interstate, it's saying a pretty good thing for Marion County. And what I think this thing is bigger, when we talk about, let's get down to it. This council may or may not approve this moving forward, but it's going to come to our county commission. And I think this is going to be a referendum that has more to do with the Yankees. I think it's a referendum on ourselves in Marion County. Are we willing to vet a situation? Are we willing to dream? Are we willing to understand what those costs are? And sometimes, and Dr. Sogan, I appreciate everything that you've done. You've been here a long time, and I appreciate you coming up and speaking, and I appreciate all these books and all of this homework that you're doing. But the referendum would allow the opportunity for those conversations to take place. Because sometimes you have to say yes before you say no, because once you say no, you're done. You just are. So we're going to move forward with this. I don't know. I can expect. I'm going to support it. I don't know what else the rest of council is going to do. It's going to go to our county commission. And then the county commission is going to be faced with, are we willing to dream? Are we willing to vet? Are we willing to do the homework? And then let us decide for ourselves. Again, it's going to be a referendum about who we are and what we think in Marion County. Because as the mayor just said, you know, my time in public service is coming to an end, and it gets so frustrating to always hear, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, because you never know. Because once you say no, you're done. So I would challenge us as we move forward. We may not have all the answers right now. It is a good thing, and we appreciate the Yankees. You know, Troy, again, Troy, sorry to keep picking on you there, but there's a man right there, folks, by the way. The Yankees didn't like him in 2002, hit three home runs in Yankee Stadium in the ACL Series, and they absolutely won the series. So, Tony, I know you. It is what it is. But, Troy, there's a reason that the attendance for the Kansas City Royals on June on a Tuesday doubleheader at 1 o'clock in the afternoon increases by about 15,000 people because the New York Yankees are in town. It just does, right? There is that brand. And so it's a pretty good brand that we're even considering to do the homework on, to consider that we want to enhance ourselves, to consider of welcoming them into Marion County and the city of Ocala. So if, you know, if Dr. Soden, if it's a rolling the dice, it's pretty good dice to be rolling on that name brand. So I would just challenge as we move forward, there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to continue to be a lot of questions. But let's allow ourselves, and again, the bull in the china, it is the bull in the room. It's going to go down this street, 25th Avenue. We all know it. And they're going to be faced with it. Are we going to allow ourselves the ability to do the homework, the ability to vet this thing out, the ability to vote it? And so I'm just going to tell you, this is a referendum more on ourselves as who we are in Marion County. This is the Yankees. So I look forward to a county commission meeting.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I agree with Mr. Allen that it is, you know, we're putting it to the people. We're putting it to the county commission. We're putting it to the people of Marion County. And it is, and I have been in support of moving forward with this, and I have been in support with it going to a referendum from the beginning for that very reason, that it is going to be a decision of the citizens of Marion County whether or not we want this or not. And it's not going to be the five of us. We're bringing it here. We're providing the opportunity, and we're setting it out to the people. I'm in full support of doing that, and I'm in full support of that process, and I'm in full support of moving it on to the county commission.
Yeah, just a couple of comments, and I'll probably echo a lot of what's already been said. If this were any other minor league team, I don't think we would be sitting here today. It is one of the premier sports franchises in the United States, if not the world. The New York Yankees on par with the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Lakers. I like all three of those teams. I'm excited about this. I've had many conversations with Matt one-on-one about this, and you know, I have been concerned with the referendum date. You know, could this be on the general ballot where it would cost us a lot less money? I think I'm beginning to understand somewhat of the timeline on that. I've got the materials late yesterday afternoon. I promise you I will go forward with it and review them. I want the people to be able to have a vote in this. This ultimately will be decided, you know, by the people. It'll go to the Marion County Commission, Daniel, as you agree, and hopefully they can see forth to go on here. I've just got a couple of questions. If I understand it right, this would be, we would finance this with a bond.
and that would be amortized and paid off over the 5 years that we're going to get the tax revenue?
If the sales tax referendum is approved in March 2014, we'd go construction of the stadium beginning probably in June. The sales tax revenues would not be collected until January 1st of 2015. So we would bond it so we could commence construction almost immediately. Okay. It'd be a short-term bond.
And also to point out something else, all the improvements contemplated here are paid for with the tax proceeds, correct?
That is correct.
I have no additional comments. Thank you very much.
And from my standpoint, I'm in support of the project moving forward. And, you know, the other council members said it very well, and I agree with everything they've said. For me, some other minor league baseball team, I'm not so sure, like Council Mussey said, we'd be here. This is the New York Yankees, number one sporting franchise in the world. And an opportunity only comes along maybe once in a lifetime to have an opportunity to do something and partner with a franchise like that. And from my standpoint, I can't think of a better opportunity than to have them sitting in a stadium overlooking I-75. 70,000 trips a day come down I-75. 70,000 trips a day come by that stadium and see Ocala and the New York Yankees and minor league baseball. And for me, that's invaluable. And the economic impact from other things, from baseball fields. We saw what happened with the Cal Ripken, is that correct? World Series that we just had. And the economic impact that had, just having those youngsters out there playing baseball, we saw the economic impact from that. Can you imagine that on a college, a high school level, with more teams coming in, staying in hotels? And so from my standpoint, I would support it going forward 100%.
And I agree with the rest of the council, but the total decision is not on us. We're getting a referendum by the people of Marion County. And if that referendum passes, you'll know that Marion County and the city of Ocala agree and want to have that stadium. And I don't compare the Yankees with the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe I would.
Now, wait a minute.
You should know better, Jay. It's the Yankees and the Seminoles. Get your story straight.
Hey, Dion played for the Cowboys. So
I would compare them with the Florida State Seminoles, not the Miami Heat.
I'd like to take my comments back then.
But anyway, I think all of us all agree. So we'll just have to wait and see what the county does, and I'm hoping we'll be partners with the county. And this will be a good venture for the city of Ocala and Marion County.
Let me just say one more thing and thank Matt, Mark, Jimmy Gooding, all the people that were involved in this from a staff level. There was a lot of work by both these folks and the Yankees to get us to this point. And thank you, Matt, for everything you did, Mark. Everyone involved did a great job. Thank you.
And lastly, this isn't something we just dreamed up today. Staff and the Yankees have been working on this a long time. It didn't just happen today because we are presenting it to the public today. So, hope the county agrees.
So. Madam President, council members, just a gentle reminder, the documents that were handed to you last night will be made available to the public. We have some hard copies today. We'll also make them available on our website, which can be accessed at www.ocalafl.org. A room has been set up for media inquiries across the hallway, and council members are invited to go over there, as well as staff and representatives of the New York Yankees. And that concludes this afternoon's work meeting. If, Madam President, if you go ahead and adjourn it.
We are adjourned.
Buddy.